السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, it is related in a hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said: مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ ذَنْبٌ يَعْتَادُهُ الْفَيْنَةَ بَعْدَ الْفَيْنَةَ أَوْ ذَنْبٌ هُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَيْهِ لَا يُفَارِقُهُ حَتَّى يُفَارِقَ الدُّنْيَا إن المؤمن خلق مفتنا توابا نسيا إذا ذكر ذكر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. In this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that there is no believing servant except that he or she has a sin which he or she commits from time to time, or a sin in which he or she persists in and does not abandon until they leave this world. Indeed, the Prophet said, the believer was created as one who is frequently tried and tested, who often repents and often forgets, yet when he or she is reminded, they accept the reminder. When they are admonished, they accept the admonition. Dear brothers and sisters, 9 weeks remain until the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, the month of worship, the month of dua, the month of Quran, the month of salat, the month of charity, the month of repenting, the month of turning to Allah Ta'ala. 9 weeks remain before this month of breaking our bad habits and creating, inculcating good habits. And in this narration from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I just read to you, we learn that no matter who we are, we're going to have certain struggles. We're all going to be confronted in our lives with certain bad habits, things that we will struggle with, that we'll try to break. And this is the process of a believer working on eradicating the bad habits of their lower self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not demand perfection from us. Rather, He demands humility. He demands servitude, ubudiyya. He demands repentance. Allah demands that we try to purify ourselves while recognizing that it cannot be done without His assistance, because in reality, He is the true purifier, and nothing can be purified without His purification, without His tawfiq, His enabling grace. In last week's khutbah, we were talking about mujahada, about striving against the lower impulses of the self, as a way of preparing for the coming month of Ramadan. And we talked about how the spiritual struggle is a step-by-step process, where the person in the very beginning wants to remove everything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a process known as takhliya, of getting rid of the bad. And this is by removing from our lives everything that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly those things that involve the 7 organs, the tongue, the ears, the eyes, the hands, the feet, and the private parts. So the first action item, after a person is not satisfied with where they are, and they have a resolve to change, it is to remove these things in a process called takhliya, doing away with the bad. Now, when we think about the different areas we struggle with in our life, we see that most of them are habitual actions. Most of them are bad habits. They are bad habits, things that we do repeatedly, time and time again, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Al-faynata ba'da al-fayna. Things that we come back to time and time again, otherwise known as bad habits. So before we can engage in this process of removing the bad as we prepare for Ramadan, we need to learn a little bit about bad habits and how to break bad habits, how to remove them from our life. And with that knowledge, we can do the necessary work on our hearts to be better ibad, better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I invite you to consider the metaphor of the rock. If you have a rock and you dump 20,000 gallons of water on the rock at one time, what will happen to the rock? Absolutely nothing except getting wet. The 20,000 gallons of water will do nothing to the rock except make it wet, even though it's 20,000 gallons dumped all at one time. But what will happen if you take the same rock and instead of dropping 20,000 gallons of water at once, you leave a small drip to drop onto the rock every few moments for a very long time? What's going to happen to that rock? It will begin to receive a mark in it, and a hole will be etched into the rock from the constant drip of the water. What 20,000 gallons of water could not do to the stone in one moment, the constant slow drip does in a matter of time. And that describes to us the poisonous nature of bad habits, because they're things we return to time and time again, and they're like that slow, poisonous drip that drops on our hearts, causing them to become corrupt, darkened, and more distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was told to us by Al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet, in the hadith in which he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَخْطَأَ خَطِيئَةً نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى فَإِنْ هُوَ نَزَعَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ وَإِنْ عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ وَهُوَ الرَّانَ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the poisonous effect of the bad habits that constantly drip. He said that when a servant commits a sin, a black mark appears on the heart. If he abandons the sin and seeks forgiveness and repents to Allah, then the heart will be polished, it will be cleansed. And if he returns to the sin, the blackness will be increased in the heart until it ultimately overcomes the heart. And it is this covering over the heart that Allah mentions in Surah Mutaffifin, when he says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Rather, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, meaning a darkness, a cloud, a covering has appeared over their hearts due to what they used to earn. This is why we have to understand the nature of bad habits and how to get rid of them. Dear brothers and sisters, according to the latest research, over 45% of our day is spent in habit-driven activity. Habit-driven activity, 45%. And this is actually a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when we have habitual patterns in our life, it makes life much more easy. It makes our life much more efficient. Imagine how difficult and how stressful it would be if you had to make conscious, deliberate decisions for every tiny little thing you do. So we have habits, things that are built into our neural pathways that we go back to time and time again to facilitate our life and to make it easier to make conscious decisions that are very important. Nevertheless, that habit pathway within the human being can be used for bad things, and hence bad habits. So one of the keys to removing bad habits and replacing them with good habits is to understand how habits work. And there's different ways this is described by our ulama, and there are different ways this is described by modern theorists. But what we have is essentially a habit loop, a cycle or a pattern called the habit loop. If we understand this, we can hack that loop and we can refigure it so that we replace bad habits with good habits. What is this habit loop? The habit loop, quite simply, is three things that are in a cycle: the cue or the trigger, the routine, and the reward. The cue is the trigger, the thing that triggers the habit, that creates the craving. The routine is the habit we're trying to break. And the reward is that thing that we're trying to get out of the habit. What is the reason for the craving? What are we getting reinforced every time we go back to that habit? Now, as we describe this process, we want to learn how to break our bad habits. Think about your own bad habits, because we all have bad habits. Some of them are benign, but in the long term, they can be harmful. Some of them are harmful spiritually to our hearts, and some are simply unhealthy practices. Think about your bad habits as we learn about this cycle and how to break it. The circle or the cycle is the cue or the trigger, the habit itself, and the reward one gets out of the habit. So what are we trying to do here? We're trying to break this cycle, and we do that by three steps. Step number one to removing bad habits is to identify what those triggers are. What are the things in our life that cause us to fall into these bad habits? What are the situations that cause us to fall into this cycle of bad habits, remorse, and falling into them again and again and again? And when you study your own bad habits, the first step is to identify those triggers, those cues. Ask yourself, observe your bad habits and ask yourself, where am I when I am doing X, Y, and Z? What's my location? Do I only do this bad habit when I'm here or there? Or is it everywhere? Where am I? What's going on? Number two, what time of day is it when I'm doing this bad habit? Number three, what is my emotional state? What's going on internally as I engage in this bad habit? Do I notice within myself that every time I do this, I'm sad, or I'm lonely, or I'm angry, or I'm depressed, or I want to reassert control because I feel I'm lacking in control? What's going on in my internal landscape of emotions each time I do that bad habit? Also, we have to ask ourselves, are we with other people when we engage in this bad habit? Or are we only engaging in this habit when we are alone, when we are by ourselves? And what else is going on in our life before we do the bad habit? And when we look at these triggers or cues, we'll see the patterns in our life. Because many of the bad habits we have are ways of dealing with situations in our life. Many of the bad habits we have are ways of dealing with stress or boredom or loneliness or depression even. So for example, many people smoke because they find that smoking relieves their stress. Procrastination as well. Many people put off projects and work because they want to have that free time to engage in fun activities to relieve the stress and anxiety of being on a deadline. So there are certain things going on that lead to these habits being formed. We have to identify what those cues are. What are those routines? Some habits occur and we don't even take notice of the triggers around us. So the very first step is to know what's going on. Step two, when we want to remove bad habits, is after identifying what the triggers are, we want to remove those triggers if we can. And if we cannot remove those triggers, we want to at least be aware that they are triggers, because awareness is very important in this path of changing our bad habits into good habits. Some of the triggers are unavoidable. Others are very avoidable. So removing the triggers in our life is absolutely key. And it's much easier to abandon a bad habit when we remove those triggers. Look at the wisdom in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers, لَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, He says, do not come near to fornication. He does not say, do not commit fornication. He says, do not come near fornication. In other words, do not approach the triggers and the cues that would lead you into fornication. And this can be applied to every other sin and struggle we're dealing with. If we avoid the cues, avoid the triggers as best as we can, we have done the bulk of the work needed to get rid of the bad habit. If we do not remove those triggers, it's very easy for us to fall back into those bad habits. And that's why counselors tell alcoholics all the time, you have to clear out all the alcohol in your house. Dietitians tell patients, you have to clear out the junk food and candy and unhealthy foods in your cupboards. Because you cannot diet and you cannot avoid alcohol as an alcoholic while having those triggers right in front of you day in and day out. The temptation is too strong. The triggers are too readily available. So you remove them completely when you're able to, and by that you have succeeded for the most part because you've removed that trigger. Now, some of the triggers are unavoidable. If a person is eating unhealthy food because they get stressed at work, they can't exactly quit their job in order to get healthy. But they want to get healthy by changing their dietary choices. But at least by being aware of the trigger, they know that when they get stressed at work, they have this desire to eat unhealthy foods. That awareness is often enough to create that shift. So they go into the third and final step of breaking the habits, which is setting up a different reward. We mentioned that the bad habits start with the trigger, the time, the place, the people, the situation, the emotional state, and then there is the habit itself, and then there's the reward, what we're actually seeking to get out of it. Some people engage in bad habits for relaxation, for stress relief, due to anxiety, due to loneliness, due to peer pressure, due to asserting control when they feel they do not have control. So if a person can replace those rewards with other things, they are well on their way to breaking bad habits. So a person, for instance, who has the bad habit of eating too much junk food, what do they need to do? They need to replace the reward by making sure they have healthy food on hand so that their first meal when they don't have food is not the vending machine, but something they brought in to work with them that is healthy. If a person is used to listening to music for comfort, they can replace that with the Quran or with lessons or even sounds of nature. And this is regardless of the legitimate difference of opinion among the fuqaha about music and its permissibility. The idea is to minimalize it, and if it is immoral, it has to be left altogether. But we want to replace it with something else that serves that need when we are triggered or when we find that cue in our life. If a person has the bad habit of staying up really late at night, watching TV, watching Netflix, and falling asleep late and missing Fajr, they have to replace that reward with something else. Oftentimes, it's because the person wants true alone time, to be left alone, relaxing, without any demands placed on them. That's what they really want in that experience. All the kids are put to bed, everyone's sleeping, now it's time for me to relax. That's what they're seeking. So instead of doing it at night, they can shift it to the early morning so they get what they want, the free time away from responsibilities, but in a healthier way. So they've replaced the reward based on the cue, and they have broken that bad habit of missing Fajr. This is not an easy process. It is a part of our mujahada, our struggling and striving to be better people. And a part of that struggle is to know the nature of ourselves, to know what are the things in our life that trigger us into these bad habits that bring us in a path of distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by knowing this, we can engage in this process. It will not happen in one day. It will not happen in a week. It will not happen in a month. This is the lifetime process of working with our soul by breaking bad habits and replacing them with good habits, fulfilling our mandate as ibad, as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we ask Allah ta'ala for His enabling grace, His tawfiq, and His support in identifying our bad habits and identifying our triggers, identifying those cues and replacing them, or at least knowing them and giving us the strength to replace the bad habits with the good and to help us with our souls. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa afdalu salati wa atamu taslim ala Sayyidina Muhammadin al-Sadiq al-Ameen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. He said, by Him in whose hand is my soul, if you did not commit sins, Allah would replace you with people who do sin, and they would seek forgiveness from Allah, and He would forgive them. That is the reality of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives the servant, and the servant is thankful. The servant commits sins and feels remorse and seeks forgiveness, and Allah forgives. The servant calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah answers the dua. And that same servant may at some point become lazy, and Allah invites that servant, and that servant faces constriction and turns to Allah again, and Allah gives them expansion. This is the path, this is the nature of the human being. They are prone to error. Again, Allah does not demand perfection of us, but what He demands is humility. He demands ubudiyyah, servitude to Him, and attempting to be those beloved servants who change themselves with His enabling grace. In another narration,
Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مثل المؤمن ومثل الإيمان كمثل الفرس في آخيته يجول ثم يرجع إلى آخيته وإن المؤمن يسهو ثم يرجع إلى الإيمان فأطعموا طعامكم الأتقياء وولوا معروفكم المؤمنين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the example of the believer with regards to his iman, his faith, is that of a horse with regard to its tethering stake. This stake that is in the ground on which the horse is tethered and tied. That is the likeness, the similitude between us and our iman. It roams around and then returns to its tethering stake, like the horse. The horse may be close to the tethering stake, and at times it may get a little distant from the tethering stake on the far end of the rope. But what happens? The believer returns like the horse returns to the tethering stake. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believer is negligent and then returns to his iman. So feed the pious with your food and treat the believers well. The lesson in this hadith, dear brothers and sisters, is that we have to work on ourselves and recognize our human failings. We recognize both and never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while simultaneously asking Him for help in struggling against our lower impulses and breaking our bad habits. We ask Allah ta'ala for help not to be perfect but to be ibad who fulfill their purpose and work on the bad habits and replace them with the good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us these teachings and allow us to imbibe them within our hearts so that we get to the bottom of ourselves and remove bad habits and replace them with good habits and fulfill our purpose of existence in serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His ibad, as those who acknowledge their own sinfulness and who beg for His forgiveness and strength and support. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد زين المرسلين والأخيار وأكرم من أظلم عليه الليل وأشرق عليه النهار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله